If you're one of those people still working at the office these days, you are definitely in the minority. We look at the biggest challenges that come with working at home for businesses and employees. This is the Cyber 24 podcast presented by Valcom. And welcome to the Cyber 24 podcast, the weekly pod dedicated to helping businesses and governmental leaders better understand the often intimidating topic of cybersecurity so you can make better decisions for your organization. From time to time, we also look at cybersecurity stories in the news and help make sense of them and see what lessons you can take from cybersecurity incidents other organizations experience. My name is Marty Carpenter. I work in strategic communication, public affairs, and general problem solving. And I'm joined today by our panel of cybersecurity experts, Dan Schuyler from Valcom and Paul Whittier from Adlumin. Gentlemen, thanks to both of you for being here. All right, jumping in on our topic for the week, working from home and all the challenges that that can present for employees, and I think in particular for businesses, because there's a lot of focus in general discussion and has been over the last 9 months of like, how are you adjusting to working from home? Are you enjoying it? Are you able to get things done? Are you as productive? But there's a whole host of things that need to get done in order for a business to let people work from home. And I love that sometimes nature just makes you get to that tipping point and push yourself right over the edge. And we all had to do that not too many months ago. I guess let me start here. How much are each of you working from home these days compared to what you were, say, a year ago?
I can start that. I've been working from home for 15 years. So I would probably say I'm a little bit of an expert on this. I've watched my kids grow up and they are used to me doing this for the last 15 years. So my perspective will be I've done it for a long time and can definitely add some thoughts there.
Yeah. Dan, what do you think? Has this been a new shift for you, or were you kind of home or a mix of home and office?
It was a little bit of a mix of home and office, but clearly it's shifted more towards the home. I would say right about now I'm doing 80%, 90% work from home.
Mm-hmm. I've been a big fan of this because I've probably been mostly work from home, with certainly regular trips a couple times a week into the city to still have meetings, lunches, things like that. But working where my office was at home for the most part for about 5 years now. And interestingly enough, when the pandemic hit, I was working on a project that had me going into an office every day for a while. So I almost was like the opposite of where the traffic was going. And I don't know. I've had a theory on this for a long time, is going back to, you know, maybe after the first several months of working from home. And that's that, you know, throughout human history, for the most part, I feel like we did work from home, right? People would wake up in their house and they'd go out and they'd plow the fields or do whatever it is they did, and their land that they worked was right there next to their homes. And then at some point we started building more and more cities and people had to go in. And then we started having to go in because we were handing papers to each other. And then technology kind of caught up and suddenly we didn't have to be there to hand papers to each other. But yet we still were going into a building in a city, making that commute, wasting that time to hand papers to each other. And this has kind of forced us to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, this computer, I can actually do everything at home from the office that I used to have to go into the office for no real reason to do, but that was just the way it was. I just wonder if, I don't think we're ever going back all the way to where it was. I think this will just become much more of an acceptable option for people in work to work from home. And Paul, maybe that's hard for you to jump in on, but I'd love your thoughts on it, even though you've been a 15-year veteran of working from home.
Well, you know, just in the last few years, it's changed. You know, from the beginning times of working from home, you know, internet speeds were slow. There was no video conferencing like we have today. But really, I think the technology's here. Like the pandemic kind of happened right at the right time where you can work at home just as comfortably and as fast as you can in an office, depending on what kind of work you're doing. But for most IT professionals or office workers, the extension from office to home is pretty seamless now. There are some things that you have to be aware of, but you know, the technology is definitely there. I mean, look at us. We're all three in different locations. We're all brought together. They're not seeing our video, but we can see each other. We're talking live right now.
And we used to always do this podcast in person. So it's been so long that this actually does seem normal. So that's not a bad little example. That's sort of a microcosm of what everyone else has gone through. Dan, do you think we ever go all the way back?
I think there will be some organizations that want to return to, you know, face-to-face work in the office type environment. But I think a lot of organizations are looking at and realizing the benefits of having their employees work from home. Clearly, it's nice and to collaborate and be face-to-face when you're making strategic decisions. But I know several organizations that make very, very strategic decisions on a daily basis, and they're doing that working from home, and they're going to continue to do so. So while, yes, it's a benefit, and there are some pros to working together face-to-face in that type of environment, you will see some companies migrate back. But I think you'll also see a majority or quite a few organizations that have decided, you know, working from home seems to work. We haven't seen any downside to it. So let's continue to work from home. So I think you'll see a lot of companies continue to work from home.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, it'll end up being a mixture of the two. And the way I've come to think about it is for relationships you already have, you can transition those and keep them up online. But you have new relationships you have to build. You know, if you start with a new company, it's beneficial to be around people. You get a sense of what someone's like, what their level of humor is like, what it's like to interact with them, what frustrates them, by at least meeting them in person. So I think there will go back to some kind of balance between the two. That's where I think we ultimately end up.
I was going to say, as a few years back, I was in San Jose, you know, Silicon Valley, and I was there on a Friday. And I was like, where's all the traffic? I mean, all the traffic was there before, but a lot of the companies had implemented a Friday work from home policy. So kind of like you guys are talking about, maybe there's a mixture or a pod or something, but you know, it was amazing how much less traffic, but environmentally too. I mean, every time we're stopping a portion of our cars in Utah going on the road, there's got to be a benefit both environmentally and from an infrastructure standpoint as well. There's benefits to everybody from doing some of this, at least partially or part-time.
Yeah. Dan?
Well, I was just going to caveat what I previously said by saying, yes, when you're meeting with established clients or new clients, clearly there is a benefit in meeting face-to-face. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree with your premise, Marty.
Yeah. Well, Valcom put together a nice blog post that I saw and wanted to kind of use this to guide our discussion today. Just outlining some of what they've termed the five biggest challenges, that are presented when you are working remotely. And a lot of these are more for how, the business actually has to have technology and security in place to make that happen, to allow that to happen. And so I want to just walk through those and see what you guys, what your insight is on each of those. So the number one challenge listed was delivering an in-office experience at home is difficult. And when I read that, I think, yeah, it's so much easier to stop paying attention in a meeting when you are online than when you are there in person. So it's easy to, like, you know, just check out and mentally wander off, even if you're really trying to stay focused. And I guess also there's that built-in excuse that if you get caught mentally wandering off, you can just say, I'm sorry, my feed locked up. I couldn't hear what you said on that last part. So much easier to have that built-in excuse. But what do you guys see when it comes to delivering that in-office experience at home? What makes that so difficult? What are some of the challenges there? Let's start with Dan and then we'll go to Paul.
Yeah, I think it's unique for every individual, if you will, depending on whether or not they have kids at home, what are the distractions? Because I think you can both agree, even at work, there are distractions. And those distractions are different from the ones at home. Clearly, because you are at home, there may be more distractions with regards to, do I have kids at home? Are there things that I need to get done that I just need to do that now? But I think that varies case by case. But I also find that I am more productive at home because I don't have those office distractions. But you are right. At times you can wander off and say, hey, I want to go do this, when you know, you should be more focused at work, if you will. But I think it really is a case-by-case basis.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think?
I take a different approach. You know, maybe from an IT perspective, you know, having technologies that make it seamless to go from you know, a work environment where you log in and you're hitting the internet, you know, now you've got to do a VPN. Well, I seen several different types of VPNs over the years, but the ones that are seamless and don't require passwords, you know, they're using some sort of certificate or token. Sure, you can add two-factor authentication. You want to do that so you're secure, but you know, having that seamless transition, and I think cloud's done a lot of that too, because now the work, you know, instead of logging into some server somewhere that you're protecting, cloud's open it up where it's sitting up in the cloud, and we just access it just like fluid, right? It just happens so naturally and so easy. So it really doesn't matter if you're in the office or at home. Making sure that things are fluid though, so that the user's not, you know, getting disconnected or it's difficult to log on to something or the VPN keeps dropping all the time and have to log back in. Those can be things that just are big turnoff when trying to work at home. So making sure that you buy technology that makes it easy for them and seamless for the user, that's huge key.
Yeah. And one thing that I think we've all experienced, even myself and Paul sort of touched on this, is that fluid connection. And how many times have we been on a Zoom meeting where somebody's internet has dropped off and they've lost connection and they've had to call in or reconnect. And so a lot of home users don't have the same type of bandwidth that you would have in an office environment. So you're dealing with that issue as well. So clearly there are advantages of working in an office, but Paul made some good points about the fluidity of making sure you have those technologies that can keep your working environment operational, your work from home environment operational at all times.
Yeah, I don't know if the mic picked it up, but we may have had an example of one of those challenges. That is, the doorbell rang and the dog barked. So I'm not sure if that picked up on the mic or not, but that happens from time to time when you're just you're home and things happen at home that don't happen in the office. But I think we've all sort of adjusted to that pretty well, that like someone's dog runs in the room or their kid does, we laugh and we move on, right? It's a nice thing. So, all right. The second challenge listed is applying consistent security controls, that can be tricky, and that, you know, putting in place this seamless workflow that allows people to get on with what they need to and do the work that they need to do. What kind of challenges does that present as IT professionals when it comes to applying security controls that are consistent across the entire team? Paul, let's start with you on this one.
Well, I think this goes back to the old security rule too. It's a zero trust environment, right? You don't give access to anything that they don't need access to. And then if you do have privileged users on the network, you want to make sure that those users need their privilege. And even if they've used their privilege, there are tools out there that will allow you to look at privilege and see if they've used privilege. If they haven't used privilege, it should probably be revoked. But, you know, being able to make sure that we have all that, you know, the access and things like that, I think, again, cloud's changing that. You know, getting cloud resources and getting the proper resources are key, and not giving access to things that are not necessary for the user.
Mm-hmm. Dan, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Paul. One of the difficult challenges for any organization that has moved to a remote workforce is ensuring that the employee's environment is secure. If they're using a business-issued laptop or computer, then that's one thing. But ensuring that the environment is secure from everything from Wi-Fi, having a secure Wi-Fi connection, making sure that your modem, your cable modem is secure, things like that. Those are outside of the control of the organization. And that's an issue where the IT department and the security staff needs to work with those employees to make sure that their home environment is secure as well.
The third challenge on the list is that consumer-grade access points make help desk calls more difficult to resolve. And is that just because sometimes you just have to be there in person to resolve the issue? Is that the reason that makes the list? And Dan, let's start with you.
Yeah, it's very challenging for a help desk technician to assist an employee who's working remotely, especially when they're having connectivity issues, Wi-Fi challenges, especially in addition to that, the help desk technician doesn't know the environment that the employee is working in. And so understanding the infrastructure, their IT infrastructure, their wireless infrastructure, the type of cable modem they're using, et cetera, is definitely a challenge for help desk technicians.
Yeah, good commercial home product as well will allow you to see access into, you know, disconnection failures, things that are happening on that access point, what radio is being used. They just have visibility to the access point to see what's going on. No visibility means no ability to troubleshoot, really. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Good insight. We got a couple more we want to touch on, but first it's time to take a break. And this reminder that Cyber 24 is presented each week by our friends at Valcom. Valcom is a Utah-based IT solutions and services provider with a drive for getting IT right, from ironclad security to computing and beyond. Valcom's 35 plus years means they have the experience and the expertise to help your business from desktop to the data center. More on the Cyber 24 podcast presented by Valcom right after this.
Don't you wish your kid's soccer team could have 12 goalies instead of one? Blocking malware, exploits, and ransomware is just like blocking a soccer ball. Sophos' InterceptX employs a comprehensive, defense-in-depth approach to endpoint protection rather than simply relying on one primary security technique. It's 12 goalies instead of one. Ranked number one in malware protection, exploit protection, security effectiveness, and total cost of ownership. Valcom and InterceptX will protect your most vital information. So get some more goalies. Visit vlcmtech.com/intercept-x. That's vlcmtech.com/intercept-x. At Valcom, they know IT departments are overwhelmed with too many technologies to manage, too many alerts to weed through, and have too little staff to do it all. To help lighten the load while eliminating blind spots, Valcom highly recommends adopting Aruba ClearPass into your environment. From IoT to an always-on mobile workforce, especially now, organizations are more exposed to attacks than ever before. With Aruba ClearPass, you can get agentless visibility and dynamic role-based control for seamless security enforcement and response across your wired and wireless networks. How's that for making things easier? As a Platinum Aruba partner holding the Aruba ClearPass specialization, Valcom has the highest certified engineers to design, implement, and test your ClearPass environment. Learn more or request a free consultation by visiting vlcm.com/clearpass. That's vlcm.com/clearpass.
Welcome back to the Cyber 24 podcast presented by Valcom. We continue our discussion with Dan Schuyler from Valcom and Paul Whittier from Adlumen, looking at some of the challenges, the biggest challenges that come in with having a remote workforce. And our list and our guide for our discussion is provided by Valcom this week. And number four on that list of top five problems or issues to resolve is that new solutions rarely work right out of the box. Why not? No, come on. Things should work right out of the box, right? But this is the kind of stuff that generally takes some expertise. And you know, I think about this and say I'm a relatively tech savvy person, but I actually don't know that I've ever set up a router. You know, I think my wife has always jumped on that task when we've had when we've moved somewhere or had a new router put in, and she just tells me what the password is, and I go from there. Not everyone is as blessed as I am, I guess. So, you know, what are the challenges that come, Dan, from new solutions rarely working right out of the box?
I mean, clearly that's an issue. And this goes back to the challenges of everybody, we're talking many months ago, working remotely in the blink of an eye. And, you know, do I have that bandwidth? Can I hook up multiple computers? My wife is working from home and now I'm working from home. What are those challenges that we need to overcome? What are the solutions that we need to put in place? And if an organization has a good IT department with well-trained staff, they could make that transition a lot easier. But there were many organizations that remote work was foreign to them. It was foreign to the employee, and going from working in an office to working from home, especially when now you have two people working from home, there's a challenge on what software do we need to use? How do we use the software? There's a learning curve, of course. And so clearly there are a lot of solutions out there that don't work right out of the box and do require some training. So that's definitely an issue.
My thoughts on this is, if you don't know that the solution works, it's good to talk to someone who has experience with this. I think working with a partner like Valcom, they've done this a lot. They know what solutions work, which ones don't work. You know, consulting with someone who's done it and knows what they're doing really goes a long way. And these aren't things that, you know, Valcom charges really to do. They're usually there just to help consult. They may charge you for solutions that they sell, but there's a lot of good help that Valcom or other solution providers could provide that have already done this and had this experience. Valcom happens to be a great option for that.
Yeah. I think especially for a business that, you, as you mentioned, Dan, doesn't necessarily have the IT team in place, where it's not a well-oiled machine, you know, time is money. And if you've got someone who works in sales and they're spending their time not selling because they're trying to figure out how to make their computer work or connect or get into whatever it is they may need to do, that's costing you some money in that situation. So not a bad idea to bring in some expertise.
As Paul mentioned, if you don't have a trained IT staff, it can be a challenge. And that's one of the issues that we got a lot of calls on during the pandemic and during the switch to remote work, is what are some of those best practices that we need to consider for our remote workers. And we actually put a work from home security guidelines document, a PDF document together. And it's available on our website for anybody who needs that information.
And we'll find a link to that and put it up with this podcast as well. Okay, the fifth challenge on the list, learning another management tool to work from home is not an option. IT teams find themselves just spread too thin, not properly staffed, whatever it may be. And if you're throwing in a whole new operating system or a whole new management tool or something to make work from home work, if it's not completely necessary, absolutely required, you're causing some troubles. Did a lot of businesses get into this trap, like find this to be a real problem by throwing a big wrench into the works while already trying to make work from home function? Paul?
I'm not sure if I know the full answer to this. I don't know what a lot of other vendors were doing or a lot of customers were doing in this space. But I would say the more tools you add, the more complexity and trying to, well, I'll tell you this too, deploying new solutions during the pandemic has been more challenging than ever, right? Because even ripping out a firewall and replacing it during the pandemic becomes a real challenge because you got workers working all the time, you know, trying to get used to new things. I think most shops have been sticking conservatively and not changing anything during the pandemic. That's what I've kind of seen. They're not trying to rip and replace or change anything unless they absolutely have to.
Yeah. What do you think, Dan?
Well, Paul's right. We had a lot of companies scrap big IT projects because of the pandemic and the move to remote work. And all they wanted to do was focus on getting their workers situated and comfortable working remotely. And so there were many big IT projects that they decided to not scrap per se, but to delay implementation until they had their remote workforce up and running comfortably. And there are still some projects that are on the back burner or have been delayed as a result of the pandemic.
So at this point then, as we kind of wrap up the discussion on this, are most businesses that have had to make some kind of transition on this, is it still ongoing for them? Should they feel bad if it's still ongoing, that, hey, we've gotten to a level of functionality and we're improving over time, but boy, we still run into issues. Is it normal or to be expected that they would still face some type of tech issues and security issues when it comes to suddenly having, not so much suddenly anymore, but now having a workforce that is settled into working from home to some extent?
Yeah, I would say that a majority of organizations have overcome those obstacles and have adopted a process to ensure that the work from home, remote working environment is working. But there are clearly some companies that are still struggling. I think those companies are the ones that have the challenge with regards to IT support and helping their employees overcome those technical challenges. But for the most part, from what we've seen, most of our clients have overcome those challenges and everything is working fairly seamlessly and status quo, if you will.
From an Adlumin perspective, being able to see what the employee's able to do at home, you know, we have a sensor that goes on every machine. I think this is important. We can see logon activity, applications open, when they open, files that were created, when they were moved. So, you know, looking at DLP situation, all those things, USB keys that are plugged in, being able to have visibility to what's happening at a laptop at home, there's a lot of SIEM solutions out there, but you know, one that's monitoring and looking at the desktop level. You know, a lot of people always thought that you would look at, you know, VPN, firewall data, bring in those logs. It's so important to be able to have full visibility all the way down to the desktop at the home level. You know, you want a sensor on there. You want to be able to control and manage those systems and be able to get useful information out of them. You know, when is somebody logging in could become really important. One of the big ransomware attacks that we saw during when I was at Sophos, it actually logged into somebody's machine and they'd cached their password for their security tools. Hacker came in through the home machine, remoted into it, remote desktoped into it, went into the security tools, turned the security tools off, and then the hacker just had a heyday with ransomware. So those things are absolutely happening. You need something looking at those machines and monitoring for anomalous behavior and things that you may be concerned about.
Paul makes a great point. There's still some technical challenges with regards to remote work that we mentioned that some companies are still struggling with. But Paul makes a really good point about security and ensuring that your remote workers have a secure environment. Because before, we had 100 employees in a building that had a secure perimeter, if you will, a firewall. All of the security controls were in place. And now we're taking those 100 people from a single point of entry and dispersing them over 100 points of entry. So now there are 100 different attack vectors that a potential hacker could take advantage of. So Paul, I think, is spot on with regards to security. That's probably the number one challenge and number one concern and number one issue that businesses need to address with regards to remote workers is their environment secure? Are their tools that they're using secure? Are they in a secure working environment?
And when in doubt, when you have questions about any of this, go hire someone who knows what they're doing. It'll save you time and money over the long run. Great insight as always, guys. Hey, in the few minutes we have left, I want to wrap up with everybody's favorite segment, What's Cool This Week? And I believe Dan wants to go first this time. So I'll ask you, Dan, what's cool this week?
What's cool this week is just a little event that happened today. The Mars Perseverance rover landed today successfully. The 7 minutes of terror ended with a successful landing. And what I mean by the 7 minutes of terror, it's 7 minutes of no data that NASA has because of the, I shouldn't say no data, delay in the data of coming from Mars to the Earth, telling NASA that, yes, the rover has successfully landed. And so it was quite cool to watch the NASA team celebrate the landing of, I believe this is our third rover now. And so this rover is going to provide a lot more data and a lot more capabilities to determine, was there ever life on Mars? Is there currently life on Mars? So that was a pretty cool achievement for NASA today.
Yeah, very cool. Paul, how about you? What's cool this week?
Well, for me, since this is work for home, I've done it for a long time, 15 years. I will say one of the important things that you're going to want if you haven't bought it, this is you can use Bluetooth or wired headphones, and they work fine. But you guys can notice I'm using a wireless headphone. It's a little bit bigger, but it does go over just my ear. It's a Sennheiser D10. Not to give them a huge advertisement. I think Valcom actually sells Sennheiser products, but this headphone, it's not using Bluetooth, so I can go out past my garage to the front of my house, down in the basement, and be fully connected to my audio. It's the best thing ever. I'll just tell you, you got to have something where you can just roam around the entire house. The Sennheiser D10 is awesome, great audio quality, and just a great piece of machinery for working at home. You got to have a good headset. I would recommend investing, you know, a little bit of money and having one for your employees or for yourself.
Yeah. That is great because you put headphones in, wireless headphones in particular, and you forget they're there after a while and you do start to roam and you can find yourself around the corner and suddenly the signal's not quite as strong. And more than once I've had to kind of hustle back within range and figure out what I missed in those 5 or 10 seconds that I was just out of range. So very cool. I'll add this for my what's cool this week. From time to time, I do video editing projects. And about a year ago, I bought some editing, not software, I guess it's sort of like an add-on or a, not really even a plugin, but it's an animation program called Toonly, T-O-O-N-L-Y. And I bought it because when I saw it and it was on sale, or, you know, they were promoting some special price for it. And I thought, you know, that looks interesting enough. I'll bet I find some point down the road where that is helpful. And sure enough, this week for a client, I had the opportunity to use it. It was not as amazing as they made it seem on their promotional video, but it was pretty cool. It's got preset characters and backdrops and settings, and you can essentially tell each character, hey, I want this one to wave, or I need this one to shake hands or give a thumbs up. And so it can bring just a little animation to a project. I managed to figure it out in, you know, just an hour or so and get it to where I produced something that was workable. And so I thought that was kind of cool that, one, buying things in advance that eventually you do use, even if you thought after almost a year that you maybe never get the chance. And then, you know, number two, that it actually worked out. So Toonly, I thought that was kind of cool. If you're into video editing or need some type of animation for a presentation, kind of an interesting way to go. So anyway, that's what's cool this week. I appreciate you guys both kicking in some pretty cool stuff. Of all of those, the Mars thing probably trumps the rest of us, but you know,
no, the headset is, you use it every day.
Now, if the headset would work on Mars, I'm totally in. Then you win for the week, Paul. But if not, as I presume it doesn't at this moment, then I think
that would be cool.
Go.
You could really roam, couldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Hey, as we wrap up for this episode, I want to thank our sponsors at Valcom. You know, at Valcom, you can get much more than a dedicated IT retailer. They become an extension of your IT team. So whether you're a startup or an enterprise, Valcom has the technical sales and engineering expertise to make your business more effective and more productive. Check them out at VLCM.com to learn more about Valcom's end-to-end solutions, the technology vendors they partner with, and so much more. That's VLCM.com. I also want to thank our supporting partners, the Utah Department of Technology Services, the Kem C. Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah, our friends at Secuvant, the Utah Attorney General's Office, and the Utah Department of Public Safety. A reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at Cyber24_, or you can follow us on Facebook as well. Just look for Cyber24. Hit us up on either site to let us know what you think, or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode. You can also rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We love 5-star ratings. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Stay safe online.